be a remiss miss if I didn't acknowledge that this episode marks our 1-year anniversary on the spillover. Give me the high points. That's producer Anthony's cue. 1 year of hearing stories from people with extraordinary lives or invaluable expertise, whether they're a detransitioner, ex-psychic, serial killer survivor, actress, doctor, billionaire matchmaker, child psychologist, or viral sensation. It has been such an exhilarating experience giving people an outlet to share their stories and in turn, watch your lives be impacted or changed by them. To celebrate and say thank you, we have, here we go. Drum roll. Lots of sound effects in this intro. We have released our first ever spillover merch. It's the crew neck that I'm wearing in this interview if you're watching on YouTube. But if not, you can click the link in the show notes. It's black with the spillover logo printed small on the front. The sleeve says, love you, mean it, bye. And it's printed super dainty and cute on the wrist. And then the back of it has a different hand-drawn teacup in our signature milky pink, representing all the different topics we cover on this show, from relationships to true crime and parenting. It's $40 and we only made 100. And once they're gone, they're gone. Go to tpusamerch.com or clink the link. Clink the link. Clink the link in the show notes. Today's guest you may recognize from watching him on Tucker Carlson or for famously calling Congresswoman AOC his favorite big booty Latina. She walked up the Capitol steps.
AOC, my favorite big booty Latina. I love you, AOC. You're my favorite. She wants to kill babies, but she's still beautiful.
Look at that big ass. Look at that big, juicy booty.
He's a viral sensation who pops up at school board and city council meetings with hilariously absurd skits to prank the insane lefties who think they can continue to run the show in our communities and schools. So who is this guy that's taken over the conservative movement in the last year by pushing boundaries and taking a comedic approach to politics? I had to find out and ask all the things, literally. This conversation covers everything from his commitment issues to his experience in working in and being on reality TV to an entire room in his house being dedicated to cats. It's none other than comedian Alex Stein on The Spillover. What?
Oh, my gosh.
Flowers?
Beautiful. Let me go all the way around. We got to get this all. Bring
Thank
it in.
Thank you. Hi.
Oh, my gosh. Alex, I've been waiting to come on this show for
this
so
is
long.
So nice. Look, like I got you a gift and you have me a gift.
See,
that's
this
so
is,
nice.
This is professionalism.
It's the Pan Bonnet Blitz!
It is Primetime 99! Spillover! Get the paper towels.
You are the first guest. You brought me flowers.
Yeah, well, come on. I'm first class. I'm a first class gentleman.
And you said that these were from Trader Joe's. I'm very impressed that you got Trader Joe's flowers. You know, those are the best flowers.
Alex, I'm an expert. You're not the first woman that I've bought Trader Joe's flowers for, but you are one of my favorites. And listen, as a pimp on a blimp, you know, I have fine taste. And, you know, the exquisite things in life. And this is, the fastest way to a woman's heart, you have to give her pretty things for a pretty lady. So this is why, for you, Alex.
They are beautiful. He did a really good job.
See, and I had to pick them out, you know.
This is nice.
And that's the one I was vibing with the most. I mean, you know, I feel like with you, there's always a lot of the pink. So I kind of wanted to go more romantic red roses.
It's gorgeous.
Just to go, you know, just, I want to connect with your heart. And
it's
then
beautiful.
Then the yellow, I figured that's just, you know, it's kind of reminds me of summer. And since summer is ending, and I get to come out to this beautiful, beautiful set, The Spillover. And listen, we know, Alex, you got the politics. I know you're, you know, the viral sensation of the right wing, I guess. But it, like I said, it's an honor that I'm even get to call you a friend and come here with you. I mean it. Now I feel like I'm a pop culture
official. Well, summer doesn't
end.
You know, you're in Phoenix. Summer doesn't end in Phoenix. Hot girl summer goes on. We don't even have fall.
Yeah, I did a hot girl walk earlier today. I was just sweating so bad.
It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, but I'm from Dallas. I mean, Dallas, you know, Dallas, the weather's not, I mean, I think it's probably a little hotter here, but come on, Dallas weather's not great either.
Okay, so you're Alex. I'm Alex, obviously. I'm Alexandra. Are you Alexander?
Well, Well, I'm actually gender fluid, so you know that sometimes I am Alexandra. Depends on the meeting. It depends on if there's, you know, a ladies' locker room I'm trying to change in. Then I can go to Alexandra. But yeah, I always go by Alex. But you know what I never liked? When people call me Al. Did anybody ever call you Al?
No, but I mean, I've had people growing up, like my next-door neighbor growing up, their mom always called me Allie. She's the only person in my life that calls me that. My dad calls me Pubis Tubbis.
I kind of like that. Pubis Tubbis. That's cool. Well, and I get that Allie, too. I don't like Allie that much either.
No.
Allie.
No, it's too basic. I mean, honestly, I like Alexandra the best, but it's just like too long for media. I wish that when I started in radio, when I started my media career, I was 18, and I wish I would have thought then to like have a cool radio name, like a stage name. I would have been something completely different.
What? Like what? Wait, slow down. You would have had like a stage name. I like this. So, hey.
Not in that way. But like people come up with completely different names. Like I would have been like Lola Bunny or something. Well, that's too strippery. But yeah. I would have come up with something cooler than just Alex Clark. Like, that's my real name.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, it's a beautiful name, Alex, because I share it too. But you know, I'm Primetime 99 Alex. And you know, you add the monikers. I feel like you can add Alex Clark the Shark, and then you could just go by
Alex the Shark.
Yeah, it's like, welcome to the spillover with the Shark, Alex Clark. That rhymes. People like the alliteration. That's how we go viral.
Now, are you on dating apps?
No, I'm not. I think the dating apps are the worst thing. And listen, we got to talk about it. You know, Primetime 99, not only am I a viral sensation, but I'm a failed reality TV star. And I don't know if we're going to get into it.
But, oh, we are. Okay. I spent an entire Saturday digging through online articles on you. I feel like I know your whole life story. I mean, like, not enough, which is why you're here, because I have to follow up on some things. But yes, I've done my homework.
Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about the online dating apps. I mean, you know, in this day and age, too, not just because I'm a content creator and that, you know, I'm, you know, it's hard to date as a self-involved, like I'm kind of narcissistic, you know, because I put a camera in front of my face and go.
All of us are if we do this.
Exactly. But I try not to think that I'm so narcissistic, but it's hard to date right now because when you look at the dating apps, you know, you like swipe left because a girl has a Ukrainian flag when that could be your soulmate. So I get anxiety. I'm swiping left because it's like an episode of Jerry Seinfeld where.
But do you swipe left on girls that are named Alex? Because I always swipe left on guys named Alex because I'm like, that's weird. You can't be the Alexes.
Yeah. See, since I'm gender fluid, I kind of like to compete. I almost like a girl if she has my same name. So that's why you'd be swiping left to me, but I'd be swiping right to you. So we already got that settled. But my point being is like an episode of Jerry Seinfeld where the girl was really beautiful, but he stopped dating her because her hands were big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is kind of like online dating extrapolated because you're just like, oh, well, I don't like that she is, you know, the Ukrainian flag or, and it says double vax. And then you see, then I was talking to somebody else. She said the most cringy things right now on the dating apps, which I don't use. I'm not using right now. But, you know, believe it or not, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So I do get lucky occasionally, not very often, not that often, once in a blue moon. But now the people are putting like, pure blood. So it's just
what?
Yeah,
what does that mean? Anti-vax?
That means anti-vax, which that's cringe too. That's the problem.
It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys, but it's like pure bloods versus double, triple vax.
And that's a problem too. You know, I get a little flack because I've called out, you know, some conservatives. Like I've called out Ted Cruz and Ted Cruz does some good stuff, but you know, all this money.
Senator Ted Cruz
for all the money he's given to Ukraine. But one person I'm not sorry about is Dan Crenshaw. I mean, he's the absolute worst. But my point being is sometimes the conservative side can almost be just as cringe as the liberal left. Not as bad.
Now, Congressman Crenshaw loves the spillover.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, because he loves hot chicks. Yeah, but that's why he likes you. But you know who my queen is? Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's who you need to get on. She's like my mama bear. I know she's insane, but what? Don't make that face. Don't make that face.
It just would be very dishonest of me. I a few episodes ago, and we also, by the way.
What? Did you bash Marjorie? What did you do? No, you can say it. And she is so funny. Like, there's definitely a little sexual tension between Margie and I.
Oh,
so,
my God.
I would definitely, if she, you know, propositioned me, I would say yes.
Is she single?
No, but she's married. But so we couldn't do it because of that. But I'm just saying, say, you know, in a
no, I just
world.
To be intellectually honest with my audience, they know, you may not, but a few episodes last season, I had Christian Walker on and we were talking about who we like, who we don't like in the conservative movement. And I said, policy wise, I'm pretty aligned. But I said, personality wise, she's not necessarily my jam.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's what I said. And look, there's different people I feel like in the conservative movement. I can be like, hey, like I get what they're doing for like the fight and everything. And like, I'm good with that. But like, is that somebody I'd be like friends with? I'd go to brunch with? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, she's from, well, you know, you're from Southern Indiana and she's from Georgia. So I'm saying you guys kind of have vibes like, you know, similar a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Just a little bit. But this is the thing with Marjorie is that when I get in front of these politicians, politicians like AOC, you know, that's why I went super viral, calling her a big booty Latina. And if you're seeing this, AOC, please unblock me. I should probably watch your show. But my point being is these politicians, another reason I started going viral is I started going to like city council meetings and started mocking these politicians, right? You know, I do the Fauci, ouchie. And I noticed politicians have the thinnest skin. You would think by the time you got elected to Congress that you would have been made fun of, right? Or, you know, that you'd figure that you get some.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's part of the game. Like when you're doing an election, like you have to have the other side, you're doing debates.
Yeah, so you think you're used to it. But I'm telling you, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, who's my favorite, these politicians, you know, I said, hey, you're my favorite big booty Latina. And she freaked out. And she not only did she come get in the video, but she went and proceeded to make about 10 Instagram stories complaining about it. Because even though Congresswoman AOC was elected to Congress at 29 years old, started out, you know, as a bartender in Union Square in New York.
And yeah, but conservatives give her crap for that. And I don't understand that.
No, I don't think that's a bad job.
I don't
think
that's a bad thing.
No, no. And she's in New York. She made more money. She went to Boston University. So, it's not like she's some dummy. She did it because she made good money because she is very pretty. That's the other thing these conservatives say. Oh, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez isn't hot. She is hot.
That's what people want to know about you is, was it all just part of like the game of just making the funny video? I'm going to say all this stuff to her. Is she really attractive in real life?
She is, Alex, 100%. She is pretty. But this is the other thing. So this is why, and I talked about this on Sarah Gonzalez's show the day before I flew to DC. And I said, if I see AOC, Congresswoman, I'm going to sexualize her. Only because, you're like, Alex, what'd you say? I know.
That sentence right there, women are like, I'm out.
Of course, and you can be out. And I want you to, if you're watching this, I am not a role model. I'm Primetime 99, Alex, and I wear a women's bathing suit at city council meetings. I have a serious mental health disorder. I'm not a role model. I'm like Charles Barkley in the 80s. Do not follow me. But I said, listen, because she had a viral moment where she was, during the height of the pandemic, she's in Miami eating with Riley, and she didn't have her mask on, and Riley's foot was in this Birkenstock.
Wait, who's Riley?
Her fiance. The guy that they're
right. Oh my God, I forget he exists.
Yeah, and he was right there in front of it. So listen, so this is the thing. She went viral because she said, oh, the right wing doesn't like me because
they all want to date me.
Exactly. So what I said is like, I'm going to actually try to date her. And of course, the one example that she has of a concrete time where somebody sexualized Congresswoman
is you.
Is me. And she just had to go into straight victim mode. And that's the problem with the left is everybody wants to be a victim. That's why the conservative side is always better because it's, you know, people that want to overcome victimhood. When the left, they want to use it as, you know, political progressiveness to be a victim. That's why you see like all this LGBT stuff. You see all this stuff that with the trans community, that everybody's a transphobe. If you don't want your 3-year-old kid to have gender reassignment surgery, like they've gotten so far where everybody's a victim. And that I think is probably the most poisonous mentality of our country now is all these young kids are growing up just like, oh, I'm going to get points and sympathy from people. And that's how they're going to move up. And that's the worst way. Like, I hate when people feel sorry for me. Don't you hate that?
Well, yes. But also, I also think about you brought up Riley, her fiance, who I forget exists all the time. But now that I'm thinking about him, he is objectively less attractive than her.
Oh, my God. Not even close.
So I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on an imbalanced attractiveness level relationship like that? Like, do you think that she's with him for a different reason? Or do you think like, no, she's genuinely attracted to him? Like, is it possible for someone that different level of attractiveness to like be sexually into your partner?
I should pull this up, but there's just a thing on Daily Mail talking about how if like the girl or the guy is more overweight than their partner, and that's called something now.
It's yes. Like, I just saw this too.
You saw this, it went viral. It's called something because people.
Wait.
What is it? It's not like fat shaming, but it's something to do with this, like disproportionate weight couple or something. It has some funny term. But yes, there's a difference. But there's a thing called sapiosexual where you're attracted to somebody's mind, not necessarily the way they look. And I mean, you know, who knows? Riley, maybe. She wants somebody that's submissive, like a puppy dog.
You think?
Yeah.
But is that just a woman in power thing? Like women in politics, they would want that.
She would want that, yeah, AOC, because it's like...
Because that's like what I think Hillary Clinton wants.
Oh, for sure. And Bill probably did. Bill probably is submissive to her.
She's not interested in Bill, though. You know, she had people sneak in some females into her little
Huma Abedin, yeah. Yeah, that's that's her girlfriend. And then Huma Abedin's married to Anthony Weiner, who's like a kid.
Who's into children.
So, and then you see Bill Clinton's on the Lolita Express 26 times with no Secret Service. But that's neither here nor there. That's all just right-wing conspiracy.
Right.
But when we talk about the submissiveness of AOC, I think she does like to be in the driver's seat. appreciate, and it's similar to Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago. She says white supremacy is the biggest problem, and she won't even do interviews with white journalists.
Right.
She's married to a white woman.
Yes.
And then Don Lemon on CNN says white supremacy is like America's biggest issue. He's married to a white guy.
They all are.
So she doesn't. So AOC probably doesn't like white men. So she has to date a white man so she can terrorize him. And the same way Lori Lightfoot probably terrorizes her fiance. Maybe she's not terrorizing him, but you know what I mean.
One of my most unpopular opinions in the conservative movement is that I'm obsessed with Mayor Lori Lightfoot because I think she's like a Batman villain. I think she's hysterical, her little weird outfits, the crazy. She got into beef with like a local. Did you know that she got into beef with a local Chicago car dealership? They tried to say that that she wouldn't let the limo driver that picked her up for something or something like that. Go to the bathroom in her house. It was this whole thing.
Yeah, he wouldn't go in. That was a huge deal. Yes.
I don't remember what it was, but like she's like crazy.
That limousine, though, it was Yelp. I think it was like a Yelp thing. It's that everybody needs to look at the Lori Lightfoot limousine fiasco where she wouldn't let the guy. And I think she was having a party at the time. So it's not like her house was empty, I think.
No.
But listen, Lori Lightfoot, her pantsuits and how they're just so long and they just, you know.
Her fedoras.
And then all of her stuff are talking about Lollapalooza. I mean, Lori Lightfoot's a gift that keeps giving. It's kind of like how everybody was happy when Brian Stelter left CNN. I was kind of sad because he's like a punching bag.
But that's the thing, though. Like, if somebody like SNL would take the time to roast someone on their own side and do Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the content is freaking endless.
Yeah,
endless.
But they don't do it. That's the problem with all political correctness is that's why we haven't. When's the last time you saw a good movie? Besides, you know, like Top Gun. But, I mean, when's the last time you saw a good movie?
I mean, the most decent one, I think, was the Where the Crawdads Sing this summer, but that's not something you would like.
Yeah, I haven't even heard about that movie. But if you look at the 90s, it's like Shawshank Redemption, American Pie. I mean, these movies would last the test of time. Pulp Fiction. They don't have movies like that. The top movie this year before Top Gun was Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
No.
Yes, it was.
Sonic.
Yes, the grossing movie. That was the second highest grossing movie before Top Gun. Yes, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is that before the pandemic?
No, that was just like 6 months ago because people were mentally insane.
How many times did you see the movie?
I've never seen Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I just know this because everything sucks. Saturday Night Live sucks. There's nothing good. Like when, I mean, you know, I remember growing up and always seeing new movies and Will Ferrell and these good freaking comedies. I do not know the last time there was like a Hangover type movie. You know, that was like some sort of transformational movie that lasts the test of time. We don't. And that's because of political correctness, because people, every lead character has to be like a gay Latino dwarf. You know what I mean? You can't just have.
I always say they've got to be like black Muslim with a peg leg.
Exactly. they have to be overcoming the odds, yet they also are like the captain of the football team. You're like, this doesn't, you know, match up with the story. But yeah, that's, I think, our content. It just sucks right now.
Now, the leading rumor about you in the conservative movement is that you're divorced.
Oh, no, it's funny. I'm not divorced, never been married. But you know how they do those like fake wiki things?
Yeah.
A girl that I dated said we were married, we're not. And that's the other
thing. Is that where this rumor started?
Yes. No, I've never been married, no. But because like in something that said his wife, and her name's Lexanne, and she's actually still a friend of mine, and she's doing great. But that, so the D magazine, it's like a local magazine in Dallas, they wrote a hit piece about me. You know, they're like, you know, Alex Stein, right wing conservative. You know, I'm not a Proud Boy, but you know, they're like, oh, he's like Proud Boy adjacent. You know, everything it's like alt-right. And they did such a deep investigation. They found all my girlfriends that I had tagged pictures with on Instagram or social media and contacted them.
And so what did they have to say about
you? They said good things, because anyone that was bad, they were deleted on my social media.
Well, what were the ones that said bad things? What did they say?
They didn't find those girls because they're deleted off. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only girls that are on there's three ex-girlfriends. I still have like a picture with them. You know, I didn't totally.
That's very bold of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pimp on a blimp. You got to know that I did date a few girls. You know, you got to notice that
it's like kind of cred for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I had good memories. We're at like in the Bahamas. It's a good picture. I don't want to delete it. I mean, if I get married, I'll probably have to delete all that stuff. But
see, if I delete a picture of an ex, like, so when I delete pictures, that's like me announcing everybody knows that we broke up.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm very strategic about when I finally delete that I'm like ready for people to know. So it's like it's a game. You never know if I'm single or not.
Yeah, but when you do the total, like, you know, we just delete them, the total existence of them, it feels kind of bad. It's almost kind of like...
I feel like you're not ready to let go, maybe, then.
No, I mean, a little bit, probably.
See,
not.
If I was dating a guy and this is what he said, well, I have memories with her, I'd be like, that's a red flag. And all my girlfriends would say that's a red flag.
It is 100% a red flag, but I am one walking giant red flag. So, I mean, I would not disagree with that. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you don't want to delete them because you don't want to let go. And I think you do cyber erase most of them, but I think you maybe keep one or two, maybe.
How has it felt kind of blowing up all of a sudden in Dallas, which is where you grew up, right? Mm-hmm. Were you born and raised there?
Born and raised, Dallas,
and so now the whole city's like turned against you, and they're like, "Watch out!"
Yes. Well, it's also because I'm suing. So Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins, who's the worst, he sued Governor Abbott when Governor Abbott took away the mask mandate in Texas. That was before the federal mandate got lifted. This county judge in Dallas sued Abbott to try to keep the mask enforcement in place. So they unlawfully removed me. How it worked is I went and this guy, he'd gotten arrested, the Dallas County judge, twice in college for doing a panty raid. He got arrested for trespassing. So I brought this magazine article that was written about him and I started reading it. And he didn't kick me out, but one of the other commissioners kicked me out in Dallas. That's an unlawful removal because only the county judge can kick me out. So we sued him. They're trying to settle for $6,000. We said no, so we're going to court. So I'm suing the county judge.
For how much?
I'm just asking for $250,000. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
because
they kind of arrested me. I mean,
realistic?
No, but that's how you play the game. It's not realistic if they settle.
$250?
I'm a pimp on a blimp. We need some money in the bank. Shorty, what you drank? This lifestyle is not free.
I was going to ask you, because I feel like out of nowhere, you had these viral videos. Now you just signed with The Blaze. So you've got a new show coming out in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Which is going to be called what?
Well, it's Primetime with Alex Stein.
Okay. Before this, what were you doing for a living?
Okay, so this is a little of my backstory. You haven't watched my Tucker Carlson episode, My Biological Father, but this is basically what happened. So I graduated from LSU in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then I didn't really have a job, so I moved to Los Angeles. Didn't have any gig or anything. I put everything in my Tahoe, and I went and like lived in the crappiest $1,000 a month studio apartment in Hollywood on Yucca Boulevard. It was like crackheads. You know, this is before the fentanyl craze. This is like 2012 or 2011. So this is a while. So I lived there for 2 years, got some jobs, like started working as a production assistant on some stuff, you know, met some people. I booked like an Azorca water bottle commercial and a TGI Fridays commercial. I was eating some ribs.
TGI Fridays?
Yes, I was in a Fridays commercial. You can type in Alex Stein Fridays commercial. But okay, neither here nor there. But I made, you know, you'd make like 20 grand on a commercial. It'd help you, you know, keep you going for a few
months. Wait a minute. That's how much you get. Someone gets 20 grand
sometimes,
to be in TGI Fridays?
The TGI Fridays one. It was a big one though. It was like their big ribs, but it was a limited time offer, Alex.
That's not bad.
No, it was really good, but it's only, you know, it only ran for like 4 months because it wasn't like one of the.
I filmed a 5-week reality show. I got 10K.
See, I'm a reality stuff. Which show were you on?
It was One and Done. So it got canceled after one season, but it was coupled on Fox, summer 2016.
Oh, okay. See, I was on The Glass House. Okay, but let me tell my story. So I want to hear about your reality. So I'm there for 2 years and I get that show. It's called The Glass House and it's ABC's ripoff of Big Brother where you live and you like vote each other off.
My name's Primetime 99 Alex Stein.
Woo! Let's check this bad boy out!
Crazy.
So I go on there and all the producers are like, Alex, you're going to be the star of the show. You're going to be the star of the show. And you know, your ego is just getting inflated. And this is where I learned. This is why, you know, I know I say I'm a pimp on a blimp, but really, I don't really have that big of an ego. I mean, maybe I act like it, but I have a lot of self-doubt. My point being, I didn't have that same self-doubt then. I thought I was a pimp on a blimp. I walked in there, they're like, Alex.
And how old were you?
I'm 24.
Okay.
I'm 24 at the time. So I'm a young kid. I know everything. Because you know everything at 25. You know what I mean? You think you know everything at 18 to 25. I don't know why. And now, once I get older, I realize I didn't know jack shite. But okay, my point being, they said you're going to make it to the end. In the show, the whole scheme is like you can ask the audience, you get to interact with the audience like once. You could be like, is Kevin scheming against me? And the audience could be like, yes. And the first question I asked them was like, should I be the most epic villain ever?
Yep.
You're just a little soft little baby.
Have some respect.
No.
Whoa.
You decide their every move.
America, should I turn into the most epic villain in the history of reality TV?
Overwhelmingly, yes, yes. And I didn't know how to be a villain on a reality TV show. So I'm like walking in and we're all living in a house and we're like sharing the bathroom. And there's this one girl, and I don't even want to say this on the spillover. I'm going to sound so bad, but she would go number two. And then she would spray so much orange scented stuff to cover it up. You'd walk in and your endocrine system would fail immediately from just the hormones and the perfumes and the perfume mania.
We have to keep up this, you know, this whole like rumor that girls don't poop.
And they don't. This one is just a special occasion. She was injured. None of them do. But this one was the one rare occurrence. And so one time I teased her. So then on, I'm like being a villain and like, I'm like, well, you know, you stink up the bathroom every day, Erica. I was just very out of line. And then, I forget what else I was saying, but I just said some crazy stuff.
You called girls fat.
Call this one girl fat, but I'm fat, so that's why I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that.
You also called one guy that was a cop of washed up loser cop.
Yeah, and he was, and he actually won the show, and he was on leave because he shot somebody in the line of duty, but he was exonerated. They said it was a rightful shooting, but he was a murderer. He's a murderer in the house with me. And you don't think I'm nervous? I'm living in a house with an actual murderer. So there was a murderer in the house. That kind of, I didn't find that out till after.
You could have used that against him
so hard. I didn't have that information. And this is, so I get kicked out of there. And I'm like really jaded with the Hollywood stuff because I thought, oh, this Kenny Rosen guy that created the show, the executive producer, is like, Alex, you're going to be on The Bachelor next. He's just going to like, you're just going to dominate. And then I get kicked off the second week.
Because I watched this to do my homework for this interview. And so I was like, let me see this, him trying to be the number one reality TV show villain of all time. And I was like, well, you did this the wrong way because you weren't a likable villain that we root for, that like the audience likes. You just were like, I'm going to be the meanest I can be, but not like a funny mean.
No.
Like you didn't play, you weren't like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, likable TV villain that's like still beloved is like Spencer Pratt.
Pratt's the best. I love The Hills. I mean, he's so great. And him and Brody Jenner's beef. No, of course I did it all wrong and you're making me relive it and I'm getting PTSD and I don't appreciate that.
Well, let me tell you about my situation. Okay, So actually I was casted to be the villain, but I'm too damn likable. I was the star of my show and everybody liked me. And then I think the producers had to be like, we have to revamp this because everybody liked me too much. But what's frustrating is,
What was the theme of the show?
Theme of the show was, it was a dating show. They all took us to the island of Anguilla, which I still to this day don't even know where that is.
Well, it's like Turks and Caicos. Anguilla.
Here's the thing. This makes me sound so dumb, but I don't know the difference between like where the Caribbean is and where the Bahamas is. It's a tropical island. So they took us to this island and then it was supposed to be like Tinder in real life. And this is summer 2016 that this aired. Okay. So this sounds all made up, but like the girls are staying on this island all together, no men. And then one by one every day, a guy would come by helicopter and land on our island. And we would each get like 5 minutes with this guy, like a quick meet and greet, like a quick chat like you would on Tinder. And then we would walk behind him and we would walk left. He couldn't see what we were doing if we were uninterested, just like Tinder, or we would walk right.
No, you would swipe right or left in person.
And then we would go to a second location. All the women that walked right on a guy would go into this little holding hut and then he would come and see who had walked right. And he would choose. This is so complicated. This is why the show got canceled. It was too much.
Sometimes there'd be three girls that walked right.
There could be three. There could be none.
There could be none.
There could be tons. And so this guy would see who all had walked right and he would pick two to go to a mansion to do like a two-on-one date.
Then you got to do the competition date though.
Well, so then it's a competition date and then he chooses one of those girls to live with him and be coupled in this mansion, okay? And then the whole premise of the show was at the end, do you want to be coupled in real life like when you go back to the United States and live or break up? And you fly off in a helicopter together or one person is left crying on the island. And so—
What happened? So
here's the story about me. So number one, I was 23 and I took this life or death seriously. I was like, I'm meeting my husband on this island. Okay.
And I have to cut you off. I want to hear a story. When they put the cameras on you, they make you sign the paperwork, they make you do the mental health. It feels like a competition game.
Yes.
Like do or die. I know it's so easy to be the Monday morning quarterback and watch on TV. You're like, oh, you wouldn't act like this. No, you care. I don't know how they make you care,
cared so much. And I honestly forgot about my real life. So to me, everything was so serious. And the producers ended up having to tell me, like, Alex, like, you gotta just like loosen up, like, because I was like, I can't, this guy isn't marriage material, this guy, you know, I was taking it too seriously. And so anyway, what I found out later was my character, there were two things about me at the time or whatever that I'd said. I said, I'm waiting till I'm married to have sex and I'm conservative. And so they were
That's why they loved you. They're pretty conservative. Well, everybody else is probably
But the thing was, is there was another girl who was waiting till she was married to have sex. And so you have to, you know how you have to choose like what's the character of each person?
Yes.
So they ended up choosing for me, my edit. Well, I'm just the conservative girl. So everything I was like, I watch Fox News every night. I want guns in my house. Like this is the things I'm saying.
The shtick.
And I said, I wanted to climb Vince Vaughn, like a tree, like all these things.
Dating life in Louisville is, well, I'm here, aren't I? So I guess not working too good. There hasn't just been that perfect guy that I'm looking for. I want a conservative husband. I want to live in the South. I want to have guns in my house.
So here's the part. So there's very, very far right people that you and I both know.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in the movement.
Yeah. Very far.
That despise me because I did the show The clips from the show. So I've never talked about this before. The clips on this show were edited because they didn't want to mess up the other girl's storyline and explain that my storyline was also waiting until I was married. So I was having conversations because I'm wild. I'm like you, like crazy on TV. So I'm saying things like, I said things like, I'm going to be 100% bangable 100% of the time. And I had said...
And see, they don't also understand, people that are watching at home, like these producers are encouraging you. They're like laughing. Yes. So they get you to ham it up.
I said, if he marries me, I will be 100% bangable 100% of the time. This
and
is
they
what I'm
just
saying.
Take out
they took
if
out
he
if he marries me.
Of course.
So the far right people think that I'm this e-girl slut whore.
Which is false.
Which is not true.
Yes.
Because... of my edit on the show, they're like, this girl isn't really conservative because look what she was doing. And also, you know, there was like, I made out with a guy in a hot tub on the show. I made out with this guy. Like, we were in bathing suits, but there was like this outdoor shower. And like, he picked me up. So like, they were like, this girl's whoring around on this reality show. And like, the reality is I was one of the only girls that slept in separate rooms and all this, but none of that was shown. So this was my edit on the show, right?
Did they make you seem more like vivacious on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they do.
I was not even sleeping with anyone. I was in a separate room.
And this is the other thing is people don't understand the context of how they can literally, you're talking about these words, they can just take out those two words. It gives the whole rest of your sentence context, you know?
Right.
So they can make it seem like anything with it. Okay, so you get kind of an unfair edit. And then what happened? Did the show come out? And
no guy was good enough for me. I was about to go home, but the producers need me because I gave the best one-liners and I was the funniest. I was like comic relief. So they need me to stay. So they were like, there's this one guy who's breaking up with his girl at the house. Don't go home. Like, give him a chance. You know, it was like one of those things where they're like a second round. They didn't want to say, we need you to stay on the show. But like, I knew. So I was like, all right, I'll give him a chance. So I stay coupled with this one guy. But he, at the end, I was like, I don't want to stay coupled. So I give him a tearful goodbye on the beach. And then he flies off.
That's epic. Alex, that's why you're so great too. You know, because obviously I've not been married before, but you haven't even been reality show married. So that's good. So that's even better than not being married. You know, if you would have like won the show with the date, then it's kind of...
But nothing would happen.
Oh,
you know?
Of course you would dump. It's all fake. You don't even, date the person after. But I'm telling you, I think it's better than now. Now my love from you is even stronger that you didn't find love on the reality show. Because if I would have found love on my reality show, then everybody thinks you're attached to that person. But yeah, so back to my story. So I did the show, got a little, jaded by the whole Hollywood lifestyle, like thinking, oh, this reality show is going to make you.
Now, wait. Pause here. When you say you got jaded by the Hollywood lifestyle, I mean, like, are you a hard partier? Like, were you enjoying Hollywood lifestyle or have you always been somebody that, like, didn't partake in that stuff?
Well, like, I don't drink or, do drugs now. But back then I did drink. But this is the thing. When I was in L.A., I lived in such a crappy apartment and I was like, just like paycheck to paycheck. I couldn't really afford to go out to the clubs except for infrequently. Right. So I did party for sure. But my, like, L.A. scene was not, like, oh, partying every night. Because I knew people that were like that. Like, if they, like, worked a service industry job.
They spend their whole check on bottle service.
Exactly. And it's so stupid. I was just, no. I mean, that wasn't the lifestyle that I didn't like. What I didn't like is, like, always going from gig to gig, like, becoming a production assistant on something. And, like, always sending your resumes. Just the hustling was kind of hard. So then I got an offer to work for this TV show, Cheaters, and that's in Dallas.
I know the show.
Yeah, so we catch people cheating on their husbands and wives, and I signed an NDA, so I can only say so much about this.
This NDA, there's no way it's still rock solid.
I just can't say it. The show is 1,000%. The show is as real as the 2020 election.
This show it's not even on anymore.
It is. It's on like season 20. I think they're coming back. Okay, so this is the whole story. So I was one of the producers of that show, then my very good friend, a guy named Clark Gable, his grandfather is the Clark Gable from Gone with the Wind. So this is his grandson. He became one of my good friends. I don't know if you know this whole story, but he was like a party animal. He was like, he grew up in Hollywood. He was that, like, lived the lifestyle. He had these pill mill doctors where he had like prescriptions.
Oh, yeah.
He had like a prescription to these California doctors and they would like fill up his medicine. He would take like Xanax and all these pain pills and stuff. And I knew that, but he would come to work like totally normal. And he had a prescription for this stuff. Not that it makes it okay, but my point being, he was pretty, had a high tolerance, right? He at the end of the season, I guess he ran out of that stuff. He went and bought Xanax or a pain pill, something with it, and had fentanyl in it, and he overdosed and died. Yes. And the reason why I say that is because he died with his 19-month-old baby and his fiance in bed with him. So it wasn't like he was partying. Usually, like, if I thought Clark would have died.
He was just at home trying to relax.
Yes, basically. And he went and bought some stuff on the street. And that's why it's so dangerous. That's why, like, I'm so sick. You know, we're talking about a crazy thing and then we talk about a serious thing. What's going on in the border, and I know we're here in Arizona, it's the sex trafficking and the drug trafficking that's just ruining America. I mean, the fentanyl crisis. And I know you're young. I'm sure you saw other people that you went to school with that had, like, pain pill addiction. But now with this fentanyl, it's 10 million times worse because it's so much stronger. It's like one little, you know, thing of fentanyl and you die. So that's why it's really scary, the youth of America, how they're just giving this, like, cheap fentanyl that's made in laboratories and brought over the border like crazy. They even have cotton candy colored fentanyl.
Nice.
I don't know if you saw that story. But my point being is this fentanyl is taking out a lot of people, over 108,000 drug overdose deaths this past year. And it's like, you know, the media, Joe Biden, they hardly even give it any attention. So that's really sad. So my friend dies of the drug overdose and I totally lose it, you know, because I was so close to them. I quit drinking. I quit doing, not that I really did any drugs, but just, you know, I did. I was like, I'm not going to do any drugs. I'm going straight edge. And I did. And they said, oh, Alex, you're going to be the host of the show. So this is April of 2020. When we go to film, they hired
April of 2020?
Right when the pandemic was starting. Yes.
Yeah, but the pandemic started in March of 2020.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So April, yeah, this is like right when the pandemic, this is right as the pandemic starting.
Okay.
The newest season. Clark had already died. He probably died like 6 months before this. They picked, and this is the height of the pandemic, they hired this guy named Peter Guns, and they changed his last name to Peter Panky because Viacom is the one that distributed, the company that owns MTV. They didn't want, like, Guns in his name. And they said,
oh, my god!
Yes! And he's like a DJ. He's a black dude. He's cool. I like him. I have no beef with him You know, it's not his. He didn't take my, I mean, he took my job, but he didn't purposely take my job. You know, he just got offered the job and I didn't. And they gave it, they told me that you can still be a producer. I said no. And that's when I started my podcast. And that's when I started going to all these meetings right at the beginning of the pandemic. And then about a year later after that, that's when I started really going viral. And then that's how I got here today. Is that a long story?
No, yes, but it's like, but here's the thing. So you were then living in LA until the pandemic and during the pandemic when you moved back to Dallas?
No. I've been working for the Cheaters. I've been in Dallas. I moved back in like 2013.
Okay. So you've been in Dallas.
I've been in Dallas, yeah, for that. And then I was, you know, also, you know, I don't like to talk about this. Everybody makes fun of me. I also have my dealer's license, so I'm technically a used car salesman. It's not something, I'm in the wholesale business. Yeah, I'll give you an instant cash offer on any car at any time.
What kind of cars, though?
I mean, all kinds of cars. Cheap cars, expensive cars. Like, I'm in the wholesale business, so I buy from individuals and then take it to the auction. And everybody, this is why I don't like saying it, because my history teacher at Highland Park High School, and I went to a nice high school, Matt Stafford, the Super Bowl winning quarterback of the Rams, and I was captain of the football team. That's why I'm Primetime 99 Alex Stein. That was my high school football number.
I was curious about that.
Yes, okay. But my point being is a history teacher said, Alex, if you don't pay attention, you're going to become a used car salesman. And then I became a used car salesman. It's not funny. Do not laugh at that.
And you still are.
Well, no, not really. Because ever since I signed my deal with the Blaze, I officially quit.
Is it a fat deal?
Yeah. The Blaze deal?
Yeah. Like, did they treat you well? Like, are you happy with it?
Is it fat? Now we're fat shaming. Yes, it's as fat as Lizzo. And I like Lizzo.
Because they gave you good real estate in the, I saw they put your poster up in the lobby right next to Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I'm right there, right in the lobby, prime, primo location. But yeah, because my show is going to go insane for the Ukraine. It's going to be like the conservative version of the Ali G show. And I'm going to do like a lot of my culture jamming. I'm actually going to D.C. I don't know when this episode airs, but I'll probably be in D.C. before this episode comes out. So I'm going to go get AOC. And my goal is I want to hire a Chinese actress to confront Eric Swalwell and say, this is Fang Fang,
like,
the Chinese
with her?
Spy. Yeah. And then be like, she's pregnant and she's not going to get an abortion.
No.
Eric. Yes. Because he would go crazy. And then I also want to get Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman Omar. And, you know, we're talking about Congresswoman Swalwell. Congressman Swalwell, you know what I mean. Congress them Swalwell.
The Congress them. When's that going to happen? That's going to happen next.
Well, it's going to be me when Alexandria Stein, Congresswoman Stein, when she gets in there. So I got to confront her. And then I also want to get Congresswoman Ilhan Omar for marrying her brother. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I got to get her. Then I got to, of course, run into AOC again, my favorite big booty Latina. So I got to get all these congresswomen, all these congressmen. I got to get some senators. It's hard. And that's where my content, though, is changing. And my show on The Blaze is going to be different. it's like, you know, it's getting kind of hacky and, you know, it's, you know, a little campy now when I go to the city council. It's like, I can still randomly do that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, you really can't keep doing that. I mean, they know who you are.
Exactly. Everywhere I go, even Las Vegas, they knew who I was. So I got to, like, maybe write scripts and have other people that I use on my show to go do
it. Oh, yeah. You got to get little minions.
And I have some. There actually are minions
out there. The 99ers.
Yeah, the little Niners. Okay. And this is the thing. When I, you know, everybody's like you're talking about a fat deal from the Blaze. I mean, they've been good to me. But this is what I like more than the money, honey. And I know I'm not trying to virtue signal because the left's all about virtue signaling. But Alex, when people come up to me and they say, I went and I spoke at my city council meeting, or I went and I spoke at my school board because you go out crazy, that honestly makes me feel good. Because on a serious note, we're not going to be able to get a lot of change at the upper levels. But if you guys can actually go talk to the politicians on your level, you can actually go and change things. So that's where you're most effective, is on the lowest level. And it seems stupid. You know, it might seem stupid. You think, oh, my voice won't get heard. Yeah, you know, they might ignore you. But at the same time, they might listen to you and they might make changes. And you're never going to have that might. You're never going to catch that, you know. What does they say? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky.
Michael Scott.
Exactly. So, and you know, I was on an episode of The Office too.
Now this is a lie.
No, pull this up. Type in Michael Scott's last scene. You'll see me on the thumbnail. Yes.
Shut up.
Yes, just type in Michael Scott's last scene where he's at the airport. You can clearly see me. I was a featured extra because I'm a real pimp on a blimp. I'm on The Office, the number one show of all time. And why do you think people watch that as therapy on Netflix?
What am I looking at here?
Okay, this is it right here. So you'll see this.
Like you're an extra in the airport?
Yes.
Oh no my gosh. Way.
Yes.
Okay. This is my favorite show of all time.
Okay. And it's the best show of all time. It really. And you know, this is what I was talking about, the pop culture. You know, the first episode of this, Michael Scott has a thing where he does this Chris Rock bit where Chris Rock, it's like the N-word. He talks about how, you know, black people are different than the N-word. It's like this real controversial bit. And Chris Rock apologized for it and said that he wouldn't do this today. Well, in the show, Michael Scott goes to HR because he rehearses that bit. And Michael and Steve Carell said they couldn't do that episode today. There's
no way. Yeah.
So the show, and that was their pilot episode. So, you know, the show wouldn't even got made if they tried to make that.
So wait, where are you in here?
Keep watching that. Yeah, I want you to see if you notice old Primetime 99.
It's not this blue sweater guy.
Yes,
is it?
I'm blue sweater guy.
You are right in the shot. Peyton Michaels hugging goodbye.
Yeah, with Steve Carell.
Wait a minute now. Your hair looks a little different here, but you're holding hands with a woman.
Yeah, they casted that. Yeah.
A couple.
Well, they wanted the juxtaposition of Michael and Jenna.
We have to put up the producers for those watching on YouTube. We'll put up the picture here.
Yes, you got to see a little picture of me holding hands right next to Steve Carell and Jenna Fischer. And Jenna Fischer was a little diva-ish on set. You know, she cut me all aggressively in the craft service line.
And what was the food item?
I think she was getting the fish. Because, you know, on every set, it's either chicken or fish. Usually, you know, they have an option of one. And a vegetarian. You know, that's the other thing is people, they get mad. And I hate to say this because it's making me gain weight. But, you know, I'm the plant-based pimp. I'm a vegetarian. And people on the
conservative. No!
Yes! I don't even mean it. I'm a soy boy. I know!
What?
See, I knew it!
No!
Look, Alex is about to crush me.
Gosh, dang it.
What? I have cats and dogs and I love animals.
You say you're a cat maximalist.
Yeah, I have five cats.
That's okay. That's honest. That is the red flag.
That's the red flag. But I didn't have five cats. And I'm not trying to get all sad. My mom recently passed away, so I got her cats. I had one cat, then I got another cat. And you have a thing called toxoplasmosis. It's a parasite in their fecal matter. And it's so strong. That's why the Egyptians were worshiping cats. And on top of that, it's so strong that if a rat gets infected with toxoplasmosis, they will crawl up to a cat and let the cat kill it, not knowing.
I'm just going to tell you right now, as a woman, like, if we were on a first date and you dropped this bomb, I'm thinking I could never date him because his place has to reek.
It's kind of bad sometimes.
Do you live in an apartment by yourself or do you have roommates or what?
I live in a duplex that I own. So it's not, I mean, it's just, but it's an old duplex. I mean, it's an older place. My house is nice, but you're right. I have one whole room that's dedicated where the litter boxes are and it is not.
Oh my God. What are your cat's names, Samuel?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Sky Bear, Dusty, Kyle, Pumpkin, and Sky Bear, Dusty, Kyle, and Angus. So it's an Angus
beef.
And that's one of my favorite vlogs is I ranked my cats 1 through 5. People always come up to me. And they're like, that's one of my favorite YouTube videos. So I'm
a
cat.
Who's number one?
What?
Who's number one?
Sky Bear is number one. Sky Bear is the king. He was the first cat. He's the plumpest of the cats. And this is the difference in a cat and a dog. A dog is like a slut. Like a dog will sniff your butt and lick anybody.
True.
But a cat is like a supermodel. You have to romance it. You have to buy it treats. You have to get it a pretty collar. You have to make sure that they're taken care of, that they have somewhere nice to sleep, that they, you know, have all the accoutrement that a nice high-class lady would have. So, yes, it's a big red flag. You do not want to date me. And that's the other thing. ever since I've gone viral, now the girls that, well, it's not a lot, but the few girls that do kind of throw themselves at me, I like the chase too. You know what I mean? So I don't like
any guy does.
Of course. So I almost don't like the slam dunk layup. And then I'm like, she likes me because I have 100,000 subscribers on some social media. You know what I mean? It's like, it's lame.
It's super lame. But I mean, here's, okay.
Say it, spit it out.
I mean, the vibes you give off are kind of trust fund kid vibes.
Well, I mean, I'm a wealthy young man. I grew up in a nice place. I mean, but I grew up in a bail bond office. So one of the first experiences as a young kid, my dad, he's in the bail bond business, and I'm a licensed bail bondsman as well. So yeah, I didn't grow up like super poor, but I'm not super rich. But this is the difference between me and I lived in an affluent neighborhood. My dad has multiple offices, and basically, like, you know, he has an office near our house, but it kind of ran the business out of the house, kind of. Like, let's say he would get like a prostitute out of jail, like the prostitute sometimes would come and check in and stuff.
No way.
Yeah, so I was basically, all my babysitters, nobody could babysit me, so he always got like ex-convicts.
No, were your parents divorced?
Yes, my parents are divorced. Okay. So, and my dad could never find a babysitter, and I chose to live with my dad. And so he'd always get like ex-convicts, and I had like, yeah, ex-prostitutes. And then one of my first memories is my dad, a Mexican mafia guy was a $1 million bond. And for how it works is you charge 10%. So they would pay my dad $100,000. But this bond was a little less. Like, he gave him a little bit of a discount. So they paid him like roughly $90,000. And when the Mexican dope dealer got out of jail, he said, I want my money back.
No.
And so my mom and I had to go hide in Florida. And my dad had to hide in California. Yes. So in the bail bond business, it's not.
This is very juicy.
Dog the Bounty Hunter is like a family friend of ours. Is that so? Yes.
That says everything.
That says everything about me. That's why I'm so insane. Like, Dog the Bounty Hunter, like, just ripping cigarettes, like talking to us about how he
he's had a sad, or well, he passed away, right?
No, his wife.
No, it was his wife. Yeah, and so he's had a sad situation. I mean, yeah, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, it's funny you say that though. He was like, you know, Dwayne Chapman, I'm not trying to call you out. He was like with a girl like 2 months later. Like,
oh,
engaged.
Really? So it's actually like, it's not what he was trying to paint it. It wasn't like a sympathy thing, like everyone thinks.
Well, they're pretty quick to rebound. I think it's okay to rebound. Like, I know people that, you know, wealthy people that lose their significant other, and then I don't know. I think it's okay to go find somebody else after somebody dies.
Right. And so when I was kind of looking up stuff about you to kind of learn a little bit more, because I don't know if you realize this, but you're kind of mysterious.
Like, I am mysterious. Yeah, I'm an enigma. I like that mystery.
You don't post a lot about, like, you don't post things about your personal life. Like, you stick to, like, the Alex Stein character, or is it a character?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of an
embellishment, exaggeration. Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah, of course. And that's like, you know that reality TV life. I was like, when a camera's on me, I'm naturally want to kind of pump up for it. But yeah, like, normally, no, I'm pretty calm.
So yeah, there's not a lot. But what I did find was interesting was there was an interview that your dad gave he was asked about you. And it was sad because he had talked about how you mentioned your mom passed away.
Yes.
And they had asked him about, like, your stunts, like going to these city council meetings, going to school board meetings. And your dad didn't seem very supportive. Like, your dad was saying, you know, essentially, like, he's very ashamed that you do this for a living and that you, that
a little bit.
Well, and that your mom passing away, that your dad just felt like, well, you know, it's kind of like, that's how you deal with it. It's kind of doing this. Do you think that's accurate?
No, that's 100% true. And this is the thing. It's like, my dad is, you know, my biggest supporter, but he's just like, a guy that, once again, worked in a bail bond office his whole life. He's just very pragmatic. And the idea that now that I have a show at the Blaze and that, you know, I'm like getting well known, and with like the people that like me, you know, there's this other, it's like you know, how you get a group of people that hate you, right? So, you know, people have come after my dad. People have, like, you know, yelled stuff at him, said bad stuff. People said good stuff too. So I think he's not used to, I guess, the attention that it's bringing.
They're coming after him?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
See, this is why.
Well, I live in Dallas. I live in a small town. So that D magazine is kind of a hit piece. Like, they, you know, kind of talk to him about me. So in my town, it's, you know, kind of wealthier people. So it's more conservative. But there are some liberal people that are like, why is Alex going after Congresswoman AOC? You know, he does get a little kickback.
See, I never post about or tag my parents on social media or anything because I'm terrified of that. Like, someone showing up at my parents' house and, like, trying to interview them and, like, all that. So I purposefully, my entire career, I've left them off.
Yeah, I think if you look at my Facebook, I have profile pictures with my dad, and he has a Facebook profile, so people can figure it out, like, who he is. Not that he's like some celeb, but so yeah, I mean, but he's not getting that much heat. My dad's a crybaby. He just doesn't.
So,
like,
you guys have a relationship.
My dad and I are super close.
Okay.
Oh my God, we're
so
too
it wasn't
close.
Like, he hates you and he was like doing a hit piece on his own son.
No, and my dad and I yelled at him for doing doing that, they kind of like took him out of context, but he is honestly worried because I'm going to these meetings and I'm getting escorted out. I'm yelling at these politicians. I'm fighting with Congressman Dan Crenshaw. I mean, my dad is like, why are you going after senators and congressmen? That's what scares
me. Was he that surprised? Like when you were growing up, here's the thing. Like Alex, growing up in high school, were you class clown, always getting kicked out of class for talking type?
Yeah, I was always in the principal's office. Yeah, in detention, AP. Yeah, no, this is nothing new. This is my whole personality. It's just now that it's like starting to work and I'm starting to get attention for it. I think he's nervous that I might go over the edge. And he's right. Like when I lost my mom, this is the other thing is, you know, sometimes when I go and I'm going to have to call somebody out or I'm going to have to go do some crazy stunt and like not trying to get all negative and sad, but I can just think about what it was like and the pain that I went through losing my mom and nothing compares. Like literally nothing compares. This is bad. I can actually put myself in that moment. So I'm like, if I went through that, if I could go through that, then I can go through anything. And so that has radicalized me a little bit more to be fearless. Like it's not just the toxoplasmosis from the cat urine. I'm also crazy because I'm kind of fearless.
Yeah, but is that also because you're like 100 years old or?
No, I'm not that old. I'm 35. I am a little older. The clock is ticking. What is Alex trolling me for? I got you those flowers, okay? I'm prime time. I am a little older, but it's okay. But first of all, I'm having a meteoric crisis. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but you know, you got to keep it up. You know what I mean? My point is like, I got to keep on adding. That's why my dad's worried because now I got to go back to DC. So then I got to push the limits. I can't keep doing the same old hacky.
Does your dad rag on you? Like, weren't you married yet? Kind of a thing. Or does your dad leave you alone with that? Like, what kind of dad is he?
Oh, he wanted to get me a vasectomy when I was 18 years
old.
What? Yes. He's probably, my dad's probably the reason I'm not married because he's such a, he's kind of a block. I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, well, he just does that. He's kind of doesn't want his younger boy to grow up and you know start a life. And I've had
no siblings.
No, I'm an only child.
Do you wish that you had siblings though?
Not really. I mean, I'm like Dwight Schrute. I would have absorbed my twin and eaten it. My dad's always been like, you know, don't get married. And I am nervous about getting married because my parents got divorced and they remarried other people and they got divorced. So I lived through three divorces.
Okay.
So that's why I have a commitment for
this is telling. Yes. Yeah. And so, okay. So maybe it's not like your dad is really holding you back from marriage. Maybe it's you a little bit because here's something I've noticed with guys that I've dated. And I've dated guys that are mid to late 20s and then also early 30s. Mm-hmm. They all have this issue, it seems like lately, with like taking this next step of commitment. And is it because we all grew up with just failed marriages as examples?
That's what
Does it freak you out?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I feel like that's such a big commitment. And in my mind, you know, I changed so much. I think that's almost the most beautiful story is the story of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. And I think that's why, like, you know, other people like, oh, well, I used to be a liberal and now I'm conservative. Well, that's good. Like, people try to demonize that thought. But I think that we all should be changing. Like, change is good, right? So for me, I'm like, oh, then I get married. Well, in 5 years, I might be totally different than I was on that wedding day. Or she might be totally different.
Yeah, but that's the purpose of marriage. It's like you make that commitment and it's like we're going to grow together. And like, yeah, we're not going to be the same. Like you, like it would be stupid when people say like you're not going to change. Like everyone is going to change and evolve as we age.
Of course. I know. I'm just a wimp. I mean, I'm not afraid to do a lot of stuff. But
I don't see all the conservative women, though, that have been throwing themselves at you are now really going to be like, because all
that's
of us are
true.
Like, we're sick of this commitment phobe stuff.
That's not true. Because
like, buck up.
No, I know. And I do have to buck up soon because I got to have some babies. I got to have some miniature 99. So, yeah, I know. Now the pressure is on that I have to knock somebody up. But it's at the same time. It's the same time. I do believe in marriage. I do believe there's somebody out there. Like, you know, there's, you know, maybe one person or multiple people. I don't know.
It depends on if you're Muslim or not.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Or if you're, you know, Mitt Romney or something, if you're Mormon, but you have multiple wives. For some people, it's okay. My point being is there is somebody out there for me and I'm just not going to force it. I'm going to let it.
Well, yeah.
People are forcing. I know people that force it though. You have to know people that have already gotten divorces.
But there's also a thing with these guys that are like you guys that are in your you're 35. Like,
okay,
I know.
Thanks.
So now I'm being hard on you now. I'm being hard on you because we're like, what do you mean you're not going to force it? Like, you kind of have to a little.
No, that's
the
worst.
Like, but like also just like pursuing it intentionally. Like, what are you going to, like, you're going to wait until 45?
No. But see, my eggs are still good. So technically I could
now
be 45.
Now see, that's a low blow.
No, not to you. I'm just saying technically I could be 45 and still get a girl pregnant.
But that's what's bullshit. because you guys have the option do that stuff, and we don't. We feel the biological pressure that you guys don't feel.
You're 100% right, and that's the other thing. That's the first thing people need to realize is life is not fair. That's the other thing. I swear, people think, oh, life is going to be fair. It's not fair. You're not promised a rose garden. As a matter of fact, life is supposed to be hard, and it gets harder progressively. Like, you know, it gets harder. It gets more hard, more challenging the older you get, I think. But no, you're right, and that biological clock is not ticking the same. I know. I definitely gotta knock somebody up very soon.
Yeah, so now you and I have beef over that now. But you also have beef with Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, me and Dave are fighting like crazy, and he has a bunch of allegations. He's the one that has a clock. He's 45 and has no kids, so make fun of
Dave.
Yeah,
but I think he wants that, though. He just wants to stick it in, like, 20-year-olds.
Yeah, see, I don't like that. And then now, so my beef with him, one of my videos that went viral where I was speaking in Las Vegas, and I talked about how my wife's boyfriend got her pregnant, and, you know, basically how they got me too drunk, and I lost all my money in Vegas in that. I slept, you know, all these people were doing the vaccine at 4 a.m. You know, this whole spiel. And Chad Johnson, the NFL football player, he shared it. So then Barstool Sports shared it. And they took it down like an hour later because they're trying to say that it was, you know, demonized gambling. He owns a gambling company. So I called him out. I was like, you know, the same place, the platforms, Dave Portnoy, who has heinous allegations, won't even keep my content up. And then he quote tweeted that and he started the war. And then he invited me on his podcast and then rescinded his offer to have me on his podcast. And that's where he got killed and ratioed. And so, yeah, now I got beef with Dave. I got beef with the pizza boy, Dave Portnoy. So if you're watching this, I'm coming to eat your pizza, buddy.
Why did he invite you and then rescind? That seems very, like, boy behavior from him to me.
It is. And he says his excuse was he was sharing this clip where I was at a pro-choice protest at the Capitol. And I was, like, knocking over these girls' signs. And he's like, this is the sickest guy ever. Because he was, like, a kind of a conservative darling going on Tucker's show, My Biological Father, a few times, talking about his...
purple sweatpants.
Yeah, well, talking about his restaurant fund.
Well, yeah, but they also have this thing about how he's always wearing purple sweatpants.
He is. I know. I think he's always wearing sweatpants. I don't know. He's also... This is the problem. So when you're arguing, I said a comment. I was like, no, now you're not going to have me on because I humiliated you. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be so humiliated in my $500 million tonight. And right now, everybody's struggling with the inflation and the recession happening at the same time. That's called stagflation. And then you got 87,000 IRS agents that are weaponized against people making under $400,000 a year, which are only going to get about $20 billion in back taxes, yet we give $100 billion to the Ukraine. So my point being, the gas prices, the inflation, everybody's struggling right now. And he's, you know, gloating that he's got $500 million. It's just a little gauche. It's just a little.
But are you like, dang, I was this close to getting in with Barstool?
No, I don't even want to be part of Barstool, because that's the other thing is we're in this. I'm a conspiracy theorist. We haven't even got deep into that. But they want to keep us. The bread and circuses are the modern sports today. They want you like worrying about, oh, my God, the Dallas Cowboys lost. Let me just drink more beer. So you're distracted to what's really going on, because if you just look at this society, we're being run by multinational corporations. These corporations like Raytheon, Apple, you know, they don't
care. And you think Barstool's one of, like, you consider Barstool to be up there?
No. But I'm saying the Barstool is kind of what distracts us from what's really going on. Like, you know, we really are living in a world of lies, whether it was a lot of stuff with the pandemic or with the election or with whatever. I'm just saying there's a lot of manipulation tools that the government uses. And one of them is keeping us distracted by, you know, cheering on 22-year-old kids wearing the jersey on the, you know, wearing their jersey and getting drunk. And so I think that sports are good. We need to protect women's sports, not let men compete against women. But at the same time, we shouldn't let these sports distract us. And we put all of our ego, like, if our team wins, that's the worst part of society, is the materialism and the identity politics. And that's similar to these identity sports. Like, if your team loses, you shouldn't be in the parking lot fighting. Have you seen all these NFL fights?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. Adults
That's been going on for like decades. I mean, that's just because the dawn of time.
I know, but because that's been going on, I'm just saying we need to be a little more dialed in to what makes us happy, to our self-esteem, instead of putting our self-esteem into other people. Or like, you know, I worked in the car business and I see all these people like, oh, I have to have this certain Lexus car. And they would put their whole entire ego into some inanimate object that doesn't even know you exist, you know, like thinking. And I know we know people that, like, you know, Instagram influencers are probably one of my least favorite people, because, you know, they're all selling something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of it, they're selling their soul when they're doing that. Not that we shouldn't have sponsors, not that we don't have to make a living, but some of these influencers, you're like, oh my gosh.
No, I 100% agree.
And not everything's a commercial. Like, go live your life. And that's the materialism. That's why the legacy media is going to die, because it's all ran by these advertisers. And you're not by the crab. Do not get tricked into thinking like, oh, I got to have this. It's like you watch a hamburger commercial. It makes you hungry for a hamburger. Or if you watch a new car commercial, it makes you hungry for a new car. We cannot put our ego and our self-esteem in inanimate crap. We got to like build something that we like. Like you, like for me, I'm a content creator. For you, you have multiple shows. I'm sure that gives you a lot of joy. Other people, you don't have to have just a show, but create something, make something. Because, you know, we don't get to take anything with us. You can have all the money and all the crap. But, you know, when you die, it's just going to get donated to the Salvation Army anyway. So just try to build relationships, build friendships like you and me, you know, the sexual chemistry. There is some. She's going to say, she's going to deny it. There's a little bit.
I'm not denying.
Okay, good. But we're on that TV show. What was your TV show called?
Coupled.
Coupled 2024 or 2022.
Okay, but wait a minute, though. This is the okay, let me say this, though. If you're saying, like, if this was coupled, okay, so if this was coupled, if you and I are on a reality TV yeah. show, mm-hmm. this is the longest conversation that you guys, or that you and I have ever had together.
Yes.
So is your impression of me after this hour-long conversation different than what you thought I was like before we had this conversation?
No, because I think you're feisty, and I think that's what makes you awesome, is that you're outspoken. You know how some girls are kind of not as outspoken? I think that's what makes you attractive, is that you're fearless. And that's what I try to put out there. You know, like, that's what I was talking about, is, you know, your biggest fan is usually a stranger, and your biggest enemy is probably somebody close to you. So yes. we shouldn't worry about the opinions of strangers. That's why I can go and I can do these crazy things. I'm not too worried. I know some people are going to hate me, but I know some people are going to like me. And I think that's what is really attractive about you, is I think you have that same fearless mentality where, you know, hey, it would be easy to be some of these like liberal leftist girls that are, you know, have the new Ukrainian flag and that do whatever is the, you know, status quo, you know, the next new thing to get behind. And you're not like that. You know, you don't have your five masks on. You're going against the grain of probably what 99% of girls think is like, you know, what they should be doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Sidebar, bringing up the Ukraine flag stuff. Do you know what I mean if I say, do you know what a garden fairy house is? Like, have you ever seen people that in
I know the emoji,
their land, but like on a tree in their yard or something, and the very bottom of the tree, they'll put like a 3-inch door and say this is like
yeah,
a little
I've
fairy
seen
yard. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I've seen those.
Okay, so a cute servative, that's what I call people that watch my shows.
Yeah,
a cute servative sent me in their neighborhood, they went for a walk, and somebody had a little fairy door. Swear to God, they had put a teeny tiny mini Ukraine flag.
Of course! Of course they did! Because these people are mentally insane. Or it's like the Funko Pops. You see the people that you know, collect toys and stuff as adults. No, I mean, don't even.
So funny.
That is so funny. I'm sure the little dwarf had a mask on. I'm sure they had a little
probably
mask.
Probably did.
Emoji.
Some people collect cats.
I have cats. And listen, I didn't ask to have these many cats. It's like the show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if you watch it, but Charlie Day, he loves cats. Once you get one, they're like Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. So do not. And actually, if you're out there, and this is the other thing I want to talk about, cats. Primetime 99, we're on the grind. I haven't even blown up yet, but Alex, when I really blow up, when I got the number one show on the Blaze, when I'm doing stuff nobody's ever seen, my money, I'm building the number one cat rescue center in the history of cat rescue centers.
Number one cat rescue center.
Yeah, it's going to be the Pussy Palace. You're allowed to say that because it's a cat. We're talking about a cat. And I'm going to, if you want a cat, you're going to get $5.99, free 99. Come down to
Alex. Free 99 canines, yeah. Nine lives. All, there's so many things we can do.
Nine lives. And that's what I'm saying. You're going to, if you go there, though, you're probably going to leave with eight lives because some of these cats are going to be aggressive. So definitely wear like long pants that cover your ankles.
Do you put any clothes on any of your cats?
No, I mean, no.
Do you think any of them would let you put like a little sweater on
them? They would let me. Yeah, I have full cat control. I could dress them up for prom if I wanted. I just don't do that because I think it goes back to the materialism aspect. But listen, do not be a crazy cat person like me. And I said this earlier, I'm not a role model. And this is the other thing too. I keep on saying that, but people are like, Alex, you just go do this for attention. Well, no, doy. I have a podcast. I have a show. I'm a content creator. What do I want to just do this into a vacuum? So I think you honestly have to be open and honest about that.
But the
thing
is, what are the reasons behind why are we trying to get attention? Like, are we trying to get attention for ourselves or for the movement and the values and the ideas that we're trying to promote? See, that's the thing for me. I don't give a crap about like growing my personal Instagram. I care about growing like the downloads of the spillover or the followers on the politics Instagram. Like, I care about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You're building something that's, you know, like concrete that you can see, you can look at the numbers and you can kind of gamify what you're building. But that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to build. And people are like, oh, well, you're not super conservative. Well, I think there's some stuff. Well, my point being is like socialized medicine. I don't think medicine should totally be free, but the fact that insulin costs $200 in America and $2 in Mexico makes me mad. So I think we should have, I'm anti-government. Get the government out of
everything. I feel like that's just an anti-big pharma stance,
exactly.
Honestly.
I'm just anti-big pharma. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even saying that everything should be free, but we should have some sort of cap and we should make medical care a little more affordable. So, you know, some conservatives say, oh, well, the capitalism is what makes it good. Well, no, that's crony capitalism where you just let these, you know, the definition of fascism is, Mussolini described it as, you know, the merger of corporation and state. And that's kind of what we have where we can't afford the insulin, but everybody in the world can get a free vaccine. You're kind of like, you're choosing, you're letting the state choose what is free and what's not when, you know, theoretically, if they can afford that, they should be able to afford other stuff. So this is my position is I'm anti-establishment. The left wing and the right wing are on the same bird. And there's some people that are on the right that capitulate and think, oh, well, they're on our side, when really they're not. They're basically globalists that care about the world, and we need to care about America. So that's why I'm anti-establishment. I do not like the people that are calling the shots. And I think, I keep saying I think, but if you look the last couple of years, I mean, we've just had the worst leaders with Dr. Fauci, with Joe Biden. So it's hard to have trust in any establishment people because, in my opinion, they all suck. It's called cognitive dissonance when you think, oh, well, I know the government lies about stuff. They lied about the Iran-Contra. There's a movie with Tom Cruise called American Made where the CIA was trading drugs with Nicaragua for guns. And then they were taking those drugs and they started the crack epidemic. And that's all declassified. So if these alphabet agencies will do that, they literally will sell cocaine. There's crooked people doing crooked stuff. Do not have the cognitive dissonance where, oh, they have our back. And if they're in power, they have our best interest. They do not have our best interest. The only person that can have your best interest
is you.
And so that's why we do not. Like, idolizing politicians and idolizing celebrities is like thinking that the stripper is actually your friend. She's not.
She's just your babysitter because your dad couldn't find anybody else.
Exactly. That's me living living with a stripper babysitter.
Okay, so Primetime with Alex Stein is the new show coming out on The Blaze.
Yes, it'll be out towards the end of October. We're building the set right now, and I definitely want to get
you. What are your colors?
I'll show you the mock-up, but we got to be kind of a little secretive about it because there's...
Just show me and I'll give my genuine reaction.
Okay, this is it. Hold on, let me pull it up. And so it's just a little bit of inside baseball. This is...
Is it a primary, like, is it a podcast like this, like Apple Podcast, Spotify? Is it a YouTube show?
It'll be both. Obviously it'll be on YouTube. We're on like Fire Stick and Roku. But so this is what it's going to look like. And we're going to be floating. Do not tell them what it is, but we're going to be floating through downtown Dallas.
Wait. Can I say like what this reminds me of?
Yes, you can say what it reminds you.
It reminds me of Hey Arnold's room.
Okay, well, it's
not
that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really, and I watch that show like crazy. Why?
Hey Arnold's room, you don't remember Hey Arnold's room.
I remember
how iconic it was?
Not really.
Dude.
I don't.
Google Hey Arnold's room real quick.
Okay, yeah, because I watch every episode of Hey Arnold's.
Well, you didn't watch every episode very close.
I just don't remember. I don't remember.
He had the coolest room. Every kid wanted it.
Oh, yeah, he has a really cool room. It is
kind of
like
that.
Yeah,
that, right?
Yeah. No, this is really cool. Wow. Okay, I like that. I like that vibe, but you'll see. It's going to be, and the show's going to be different because it'll be an hour and a half. It'll be live, and I'll have guests on it. But at the same time, what my show is going to be different is I'm going to go do what I call culture jamming, where I go and I do these stuff, where I go to these protests, and we're going to be reacting to the content that I do. Like I was describing kind of who I am or who I think I am. Did you ever see the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, because I'm a true crime fanatic and I know everything Zodiac Killer. So, yes.
Exactly. So he in the show was a stringer. Is that somebody that goes to accidents like in the middle of the night and gets like the first on the scene footage? And he was doing this and he was having success, but not enough accidents were happening. So he started causing the accidents himself. And that's kind of what I
do. To make the news.
So I go and cause the accidents. The Hurricane Primetime 99 is coming to DC and I go and get in the politicians' faces. I create the story. And so that's what's going to be different about my show is I'm going to be making the news and then commenting on it. So it's you know, and this is the other thing is I've been doing this by myself. I mean, I have some experience. I produced, you know, on a reality TV show for years. So I'm not like just some total newbie. But my point is I've done this basically by myself. And now that I'm going to have a team behind me.
Oh,
the sky's the limit. Yes.
It is awesome.
And I want to just really congratulate your team. Everybody that works on The Spillover, Angelo, Valentina. Salt of the earth. Everybody here at Turning Point is so nice. And that's like, I don't even want to kiss Charlie Kirk's butt, but like going to the events like SAS and all that stuff, it's the best energy because it's like we're going in the right direction. I don't know what liberal college, you know, events like that.
They don't have it.
Exactly.
It doesn't exist.
So when I was in college, I didn't even care about politics. Seeing this youth, it actually gives me hope because I kind of want to be black-pilled and be negative. But when you go to one of these Turning Point events, you're like, kind of like, oh, well, this gives me hope. There's like young people that are hip to what's going on. So
yeah,
that's why I really respect Turning Point. That's why I really respect being here. And even though you ageist me by making fun of my age or not being married, I'm going to get married maybe to you or maybe to Valentina.
Maybe Valentina.
Hey, anybody, if you're single, please, you can see my, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram. I'm all over the internet. If you cannot find me, you're not looking hard enough, please.
But
call
he's not on the dating apps.
I'm not, well, what do you, so what do you suggest? Do you think people, all the
okay,
cute,
so here's
you
the thing.
Real quick, do you tell the conservatives to use the dating apps?
I don't care. I'm not like, you know what I think is annoying? These like super pious conservatives that are like, I'm better than the dating apps.
That's true.
Like, so yeah. I use them. Okay, you know what my dating, my profile says right now?
What?
It says Big Gov sucks and so does your mom.
See, that's funny.
Right?
I like that.
It puts my values out there. It shows my personality, shows that I have a sense of humor. I'm different. Like, I think.
But Hinge or Bumble?
The app that is like kind of you're not supposed to say the name or say that you're on it.
Oh, you're not.
Does that like?
I don't know. I don't.
It's not. It's not Hinge. It's not Bumble. But if you say it, they kick you off.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't say it.
You don't know. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Is it start with a T?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. Why don't I know? Is there not a mute button?
Well, I should get you on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, regardless, this is the thing. I don't like it because it seems so sterile where I'm swiping left and it almost gives me anxiety. And then do you not have the problem because you're so pretty? Don't you get too many people hitting you up? Don't you get overwhelmed?
Because the app that I'm on, it's all like, it's all freaking like LA granola hippie liberal losers. Some guy, there was a SNL writer on there, so it's all,
see,
it's,
that's cool,
but it's all people that like work in this industry, and so they almost always lean left. So actually I don't get that many matches because I put my values out there, and I think a lot of the guys on these apps don't share those values. Now if I were to get on Hinge or Bumble, then I think maybe, but I've done that before and I feel like that's the problem. I'm finding guys like you that won't like commit or do anything. I'm like, this is so stupid. So that's the problem. So I'm trying it now, but it's like, I don't know.
It's not easy, guys. Dating in this day and age is extra hard. When our parents were dating, they didn't have the internet. And I think we have too many options. That's the problem. Is we're getting overloaded. And you can meet with your exes. Like, I think, you know, our parents with it before the internet, like if you didn't see somebody, you wouldn't like reconnect with them ever. And now you can like cyber stalk your exes and stuff like that. It just makes it a lot more volatile, the dating world. Cause you never know. I've had girls where I dated them and then their creepy ex was like got involved, you know, like hit you up.
I wish that would happen to me. Like, I wish that would happen because that is such an ego boost though, to have somebody like that's still that obsessed with you. Yeah. Is that weird? Is that crazy energy?
A little. That's way crazy energy. I mean, I have some people that are a couple exes that are kind of annoying where you have to block. So I've never had that. You've never had to block an ex?
No,
I've had to block.
Well, I do sometimes to be petty, but not because they're like giving me a reason. But sometimes I do just to be like, I just want to stick it to you.
It's nice to be petty to an ex. There's something that feels good about it. But most of my exes, you said this earlier, I really honestly do have good relationships with, because it's like, I am a little bit of a commitment phobe. I got to commit. I got to do it. But also, I'm building something like you're building something. So I'm going to have, once I create this and once my Blaze show is successful, and then, you know, then once I get hired by Fox News or once I make it on ABC.
You don't want to go to Fox.
I'm just kind of saying
because,
that.
Because my
dad works there.
You want to know my conspiracy theory about Fox?
Is what?
My conspiracy theory is that they wanted to shut up Tommy Lahren, so they purposely gave her like the biggest paycheck ever, just like put her up in like Fox Nation where nobody would watch, and then just like get rid of her. That's just my thoughts. We're probably gonna cut this out, but
yeah, I know. Well, I think there's some. Listen, Fox is not perfect. I'm happy with the Blaze. I'm just kind of saying that jokingly. Unless I get like a show on like, you know, actual regular Fox, not Fox News, and I would love that. But when you're building this, I was saying this earlier, I'm a little self-involved, so I don't know. Usually when I'm dating, my whole free time, your whole hobby is the dating, right? You're going on the trips, mm-hmm. you're doing stuff. Now I'm always traveling for work, you know, for this. So it's like, I don't know if I can be there emotionally available for the person that they deserve. Like, for a girl, I need to be really there. And if I'm only halfway there, it's not worth leading somebody on.
You know, when Charlie Kirk is married to
Beautiful.
Erica.
He just had a baby girl.
Yes, just had a baby girl. And his wife is gorgeous, yes. And the sweetest girl. But with the 2 years, I think they dated for 2 years or so. But when they were dating, I mean, her full-time job was traveling with him. Like, she just
did
nothing, but she would travel with him every weekend. Like, she was there. So you might have to find a girl that will just go with you.
That's what I'm going to have to do.
She's got to be a Stein groupie.
Charlie, if you're watching this, please give me some dating advice. I definitely need to. And Charlie,
he would tell you to put up or shut up and get rid of the commitment
stuff. I know
he
would and get have a baby. I am going to have a baby. Just let me just.
The having the baby part is the easy part. The commitment part is the harder part.
Well, I have to have a kid. That's one thing. I got to have a kid.
Well, because you're the only child. So who's going to, like, you know, keep the family going?
Carry on the Primetime 99 name.
And, yeah.
And if I have a girl, I'll just be just as happy. But I just want a kid and play football and sports. You know, I loved my high school football. People make fun of me. You can't let it go. But, like, school sports, that's still my favorite thing probably I've ever done.
Well, you know, if you and I were married, we would be Alex. We'd just be the Alex Stein.
We'd be the Alexes. It'd be Alex Stein and Alex Stein.
But see, isn't that strange to you?
Yes, but the world is strange. The world is incredibly strange. When you were born, it was not. Nobody's like, hey, this world's going to be really
normal.
You
could be Alex squared.
We could be a power couple. We would take down the whole liberal world order, just us two, just our energy. And I think we would make some beautiful kids. I know we'd make some beautiful kids. Were you an athlete at all, or did you play any sports or anything?
No.
Well, that's even better. That's even better. So then we have a raw canvas.
I was the, you know, like how it's required, you have to run a mile. But
yes.
In high school. So I am so tiny.
Very tiny.
But the fat girls passed me up. Like, I was the last one. And then because I'm one of those girls that would, like, bitch the whole time and, like, I can't do it. I hate this, you know? And so I was the last one running, and the whole class saying, don't stop believing, so that I would keep going.
See, and listen, Alex is a drama queen. That's why she's last. She'd never get outrun probably some of those girls. Yeah, you loved
it. That's the thing, the attention thing.
You and
I, like, we know what to do to, like, garner attention.
Yes, we definitely do. If she's finishing last in the school race, the mile, then Alex, God, that makes you even more dreamy. She's my dream girl. Come on, please. I now got to download that dating app and find it.
I know. I'll tell you. I'll tell you off the air. Yeah, they're weird. Like, if you do an interview and you say that you're on it, because, like, celebrities and stuff are on it, it's a secret thing, they snip you.
Do not say it. We don't want to reveal it. You guys have to do your own research. But I feel a good. Come on, hold my hand, please. This is it, guys. This is the connection. This is the power couple. This is the future of
conservatism.
Yeah, I mean, and I know I've been kissing your butt, but we do have to mix, like, the pop culture aspect. You know, we shouldn't, like, demonize Kim Kardashian just because she had a sex tape with Ray J. Like, I love hearing about the gossip with Pete Davidson and all that stuff.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just all, I don't want to just all be about politics and inflation. I love the.
Well, it's fun. But yeah. Because you described yourself as, like, what is that called? Where you make the car wrecks happen?
Yeah.
Sizzler? What is it called?
Nice. Stringer.
Stringer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you're, like, the stringer of the conservative movement. And I always say that I'm, like, the hostess. Like, if the conservative movement was a restaurant, I welcome people in. I'm like the fun, like, we're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's get you seated.
Yes.
And then the main course people are, like, the Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk's, Ben Shapiro's. You know, they're who, like, give you the full meal. I'm just, like, the appetizer, like, we're gonna have a good time tonight. And so when I talk about things like Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian in an episode, I'm hooking people in, getting them interested. Well, what does this conservative girl have to say? What does she believe? And then, like, a few stories down, then I'm giving, like, a big red pill on abortion. You know what I mean? So I do that. I'm similar in that way. Like, I see my role as that. And I think a lot of kids see my job, see your job, and they're like, I wish that I could do that. And it's like, we both found our niche in the conservative movement. Like, everybody has something that you're good at. We all have our strengths, and you have to play to those strengths, and that's how you make a name for yourself in the conservative movement.
You're right. I'm, like, making the really high sugary desserts. Mine is, like, you know.
you're the ADHD
cheesecake
epidemic.
And I'm sure now you guys, there's a lot of young people at Turning Point. But I can't believe how many people are like, oh, I want to work for you. I want to do that. Do you get that so much? I mean, I get a message every day. And I really appreciate it. For the people that are sending me your resume and stuff, thank you so much. One of these days, I might hire one of you guys. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, I want to do what you do. And you said earlier, I do have some disciples that I take to meetings.
Disciples.
That's how it works. When you're culture jamming, you're on the grind all the time. Primetime 99.
People say I run a cinnamon roll cult. So, you know, we all have our things.
And I love cinnamon rolls, actually. Cinnamon rolls are delicious. Do you the pop? And, you know, like the pop, you know, the canned cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're delicious.
The Pillsbury.
And then now they have an orange. Do you like the orange? I love the orange.
If I let you go and we don't wrap this up with a Ukraine wrap, I will
get
hung.
Oh, we're going to go. Let's go. All right. Primetime 99 on the ground all the time. And you know I go insane for the Ukraine. Put a bullet in Putin's brain. Gas prices way too high. Vladimir Putin needs to die. Alex Clark is a shark. And you know she's super smart. And you know she don't ever fart because girls don't poop. They don't go
And you know our grind is shine. Turning Point USA, we love you every day. Now let's go, baby, we did it. Oh my gosh, my heart. It's not the myocarditis that's affecting my heart right now. It's just pure love and good energy. My heart's beating.
All right, so we have to wrap this up. Absolutely incredible.
Went by too fast.
I am going to be, though, in your neck of the woods this weekend.
Yeah, we need to go get some dinner. We need to go to some high-class places.
Should we grab drinks?
I would love to, yes. No, seriously, we have to. And then I can get. Then you guys will see the post-recap of the show. It's like a reality show.
A reality show!
Exactly, so...
I think this interview went pretty well. You might have earned a date.
Oh, I did it. I earned it. I'm buying drinks. My treat. We're going to go somewhere nice, fancy.
All right.
We're going to have a good time.
You'll see.
Oh, my God.
The flowers were a very nice touch, I have to say. I was actually more surprised about the five cats and him being a vegetarian than I was about the commitment issue stuff that he revealed. And I need a freaking comedy series based on his life with the bail bondsman dad asking random hookers and convicts to babysit his kid. That is one of the funniest stories I've ever heard about someone's childhood. Also, if you were paying close attention in this episode, then it should be obvious. I shared a life update about myself. With last week's episode being a heavy firsthand account of 9/11, I wanted to do something really fun and laugh out loud funny this week. So since I love doing hard 90-degree turns each week with completely different subject matter, next Thursday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts, expect a really deep theological conversation. If you want to see the flowers that Alex Stein gave me, watch this episode on the Poplitics YouTube. Do not forget to check out the limited edition spillover crew neck in the show notes. You know, clink the link. And this week especially, leave a 5-star review for the spillover and let all of us that work on this show know what it has meant to you for our first year anniversary. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover, and I really love you. Mean it. Bye.